invite you to hear these words this morning. First, from the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus tells us that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then Paul writes to his friend and colleague Timothy these words: command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that truly is life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. For today, we're beginning a brand new series entitled Investing for Life. And in this short series, we're going to be looking at, you know, what it means to invest in things that have real meaning and real purpose. And so in the process, we're inviting you to ask yourself this question, right? What really matters to me? All right? To ask yourself, what really matters to me? Because your values and your priorities and your goals have everything to do with that question. Has everything to do with, you know, how you use your time, how you even use your resources, your money. What did Jesus say? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So our money and how we spend it leads our heart, or our heart leads our money. So what I want us to understand, though, is as we get into this series, I want to be very clear that, hey, this is not about judgment. This is not about judging people, me judging you or anyone else judging. That's not what we're all about, okay? When you understand that, I can only judge myself, no one else, just myself. And so when it comes to my finances, how much money, you know, I know how much I make, I know how much I give away, I know how much I save, I know, what I spend it on, what I don't spend it on, you know, when I can splurge, when I don't splurge, how I need to change some things, where I am off kilter, you know, in maybe my priorities and my goals and my purpose, and so where I need to change some things. So there's no judgment for anyone else but for me, all right? So that's why I'm sharing my struggles in these areas as well, you know, when it comes to my heart and my to my treasure. And I've always said this, I'll always say this, and that is, here, when I'm preaching, I am preaching first to me, then to you, okay? Because I am right there where you are. I'm no different than anyone else. And so these are my struggles, and you know, I'm going to share that within this series. But what I have found is that many times the things that I struggle with, many of you do as well. So that's what I want to do. I want to start by talking about impulse buying. You know what that is, right? It's defined in this way. Impulse buying is the tendency of a customer to buy goods and services without planning in advance. You're just doing it on the spot in the moment there. So this past week, there were 2 days of Amazon Prime Days, right? So if you're Amazon, you know what that's probably about. So, you know, it's 2 days where they have all these supposedly, you know, wonderful deals. So did anybody, I think it was Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. So did anybody, you know, find some good deals? Did you end up getting some stuff? Because that's playing on this whole notion of impulse buying. Right? Our tendency to buy like that. You see a deal on something you hadn't even been thinking about getting. Right? And all of a sudden you see, this is a great deal. Oh, you know, yeah, let's get that. Right? It happens. We're all victims in some, I guess, in some sense of impulse buying from time to time. I'll tell you about one of mine. When Mindy and I first got married, we lived in Belmont. I was serving in church there. And I drove a Mercury Mountaineer at the time. It was the Mercury's equivalent of the Ford Explorer, okay? So I think the Mercury versions always just had better standard equipment, like luxury, you know, leather seats, stuff like that. So that's what I drove. Now, Mindy drove a beat-up, paint-worn green, I think it was like a Chevy Impala, something like that, okay? It had like 3 hubcaps on it. It had 4 tires, but only 3 hubcaps. When you would turn the car off, sometimes it would continue to run. When you tried to lock the doors, and you know, had electronic locks on, you tried to lock the doors and the locks would just go up and down like that. And so once we were married, one of the, you know, we didn't have any kids or anything. We were both working, so we had, you know, living comfortably. So the first big purchase for us was to replace her car. So Mindy got, I think we found a nice used Toyota Camry. So we replaced her car. Well, she got a new car. I'd had my Mercury Mountaineer for a while. I was like, you know, it's about time to, you know, to trade that in. The miles are getting up on it. And so, you know, I started looking at it. And so I was like, I really like the Dodge Durangos. And so I began looking at Dodge Durangos and what they were all about and things like that. And one day I was over in Charlotte and I was visiting someone in the hospital. And on the way home, you know, I went by a Dodge dealership and I kind of looked like, oh, they got several Durangos there. So let me just pull in, check them out. I hadn't seen them up close yet. So let me just check them out. I'll just look at them. So I go in and I get out and I'm looking at Durangos. And of course, the salesman comes out and says, hey, how can I help you? Can you, blah, 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 all that good stuff. And I said, no, I'm just looking. And to his credit, he wasn't very pushy. He said, okay, well, if you need anything, you know, I'm just right inside. Here's my card. I said, great. I'm just, all right. So continue to look. And then, you know, as I'm looking, you know, I found one. Oh, man, that is, I love that color. Oh, and I love these features on that look. I hadn't seen anything like that. And of course, the salesman, he was very good. He noticed that I had stopped and was really looking over this one particular Durango. And so he comes back out and he says, hey, can I show you that one? I said, well, okay, sure. So I look at it and we do all those kind of things. And he says, so what can I do to put you in that today? It's like, oh, I'm not, you know, I'm just looking all like it. So, no, really. Well, a few hours later, I arrive at home in a brand new Dodge Durango. Okay. And Mindy had no idea, you know, that I was actually going to get one and things, but I show up in one. And, you know, I have to say she is so much more gracious than I would have ever been in that moment. And, you know, it was great. I love my Durango. It was a great vehicle. Then Lily, our third kid, came along, and all of a sudden, it wasn't very efficient at getting kids into, you know, three kids into three different car seats in the Camry or in my Dodge Durango there. And so it was time for a minivan. Well, guess what car we traded in to get the minivan? Yep. The Dodge Durango. I think that was Mindy's way of getting me back a little bit. I don't know. But that's the way it is sometimes, you know, right? We see something and we have to have it. And we have to have it right there, right then and there. And regardless if we plan for it, regardless if maybe if we can even afford it, we see it, we want it, and we want it now. Impulse buying. And maybe that's why a report by the National Institute of Retirement Security, the National Institute on Retirement Security, found that the average household has less than $65,000 saved for retirement. That's it. And maybe that's why 61% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. Or maybe that's why when faced with a financial emergency, you know, the heat pump goes out, you need a new roof, you know, the car needs new tires, worse yet, you lose your job, we have no resources, no money to cover it. And so instead, what do? We whip out the credit card and we go in debt, and many times it's to go deeper in debt. See, most of us, we're not worried about tomorrow, right? We want it today. We want to enjoy pleasure today. So what do? We consume and we spend and we squander, much like that younger son did in the story of the prodigal son that Jesus told. You remember that one? You find it in Luke chapter 15. So that's my, you know, I encourage you to do this this week, is to read Luke chapter 15. You'll find several stories. One of those is the story of the prodigal son. But if you know it, you know, the younger son asks for his inheritance from his dad. His dad gives it to him, and he goes off to a far-off country. And what does he do? He squanders it. He wastes it, right? And the scriptures say he does so in wild living, in pleasure, all these kinds of things. Why? He wasn't worried about tomorrow, was he? No. He wanted to enjoy pleasure in that moment, right then and there. But then when it was gone, when a famine hit the land, and then he experienced personal famine in his own life because all of his money was all gone, he barely had a job, he longed for the meager scraps that his father's pigs enjoyed. Now, most of us were probably not in that same place as that younger son was, but we're still prodigals. I want us to understand that, because we waste a bit, don't we? See, that's what prodigal means. Prodigal means this: spending money or resources freely and recklessly, wastefully, extravagant. Right? Spending money or resources freely and recklessly, wastefully, extravagant. Now, we might not be in trouble financially. I don't know. But there may be a looming financial disaster that we're not prepared for. You know, here's what I found in my own life. The more I have, the more I tend to waste, the more I tend to squander. You ever noticed that? I mean, again, when Mindy and I got married, we had two incomes. She was a special education teacher, you know, so no kids. And so, you know, we didn't budget. We never lived extravagantly. But at that time, you know, we didn't think a lot about it. If we needed something, we got it. We didn't really track our spending. If we wanted to do something, you know, we did it. We didn't think twice. Again, we weren't extravagant, but we didn't think much about where our dollars were going. And in doing so, we were, you know, we squandered. We squandered a lot, I think, and probably wasted some. And so here's what I've realized. You know, every dollar that we waste is another dollar, you know, that could have gone towards something maybe more meaningful, right? Could have made more of a lasting impact. We could have invested in, and, you know, I'm not talking about in property and stuff like that, but invested in other people's lives, you know, and made an impact that way, to bless somebody. But see, about without realizing it, you know, for most of us, we waste and we squander, you know, I think quite a bit. I'll give you another example. Mindy doesn't like to send me to the grocery store usually. Number one, because I usually cannot find what it is that she sent me to the store for. Okay? And I think, you know, it's one thing. With the beauty of cell phones now, I can say, hey, I can bring up video and say, hey, Mindy, is this what you need? Or things. Before that, she'd send me with a note and then, you know, and I would be left to my. She hated it because a lot of times I couldn't find what it is that she needed. Secondly, I'd always come back with something close to that item if I couldn't find it, but also more things, all right? More things that she hadn't planned for. You know, she'd send me out for milk, and I'd come back with milk, but also things that she would never buy. You know, I'd come back with beefy sausage or bologna or you know, donuts, you know, healthy kind of food, stuff like that, you know? And you can't help it. You go to a grocery store and there's all this wonderful stuff and, you know, stuff that we never have at home because I don't do the grocery shopping. And, you know, there's always deals. There's like, you buy one box of cereal, get another one free. And it's like, oh man, that's such a great deal. Yeah, okay, we don't really eat that cereal, but, you know, it's too good of a deal to pass up. We'll eat it. So, you know, I buy two boxes of cereal. And so whatever it is, you know, Mindy sends me out for the $3 gallon of milk and I come back with $20 worth of stuff. All right, stuff we don't need, you know, again, impulse buying, right? Yeah, that's what I struggle with. Mindy, you know, she struggles with her own stuff. Especially when it comes to the kids' clothes, especially when they were younger, her mom would always send her the Old Navy coupons or Gap coupons. I can't remember which, but she would get these coupons, and you had to use them by a certain time. And so Mindy, I think something, she always felt obligated to use these coupons. My mom had sent me, you know, 40% off. And it's like, well, you know, they don't really need nothing, right? No, but, you know, Brady's always going to need pants. He's going to grow. So, you know, we all got our stuff. And in doing so, we probably, if we took a step back, we probably waste, squander, you know, we're all prodigals in some way and to some extent. You know, but what if we did that? What if we did pause and reflected on what we do have and how, you know, and what we do with what we have? How much do we really need? How much are we really squandering, right? Do we need to eat out as much as we do? You know, you and your spouse, you know, you're dropping $60, $70 these days on a, you know, on a meal. You know, do I really need that Starbucks every morning? Right? Do we need this additional streaming service or this subscription or that subscription? You know, because, you know, it adds up quickly. But what if we cut back just a little bit? You know, what could we use those extra dollars for? And so again, I go back to the question I asked you to think about at the beginning, as, you know, what really matters to me? what is your life really about? Because the answer to that question is very important. Because and you may not even articulate it in this way, but you may live your life in this way that reflects this, that, hey, you know, well, what's most important is I consume and spend, and, you know, is pleasure, right? Taking care of my family, those kinds of things. Or is there, you know, but my question is, isn't there a higher purpose as followers of Christ? Aren't we called to something higher, than more than just consuming, more than just spending, more than just the pursuit of pleasure, right? Because here's the thing. What is it, again, what we're investing, are we investing in life? Because I'm going to tell you, there is a difference, all right, in the consuming and the spending and the investing in life. Because one leads us to true joy, and the other one just pretends to do so. Because everything in investing in life has everything to do with discovering and experiencing, I believe, joy, where you find true joy. And, you know, we've been talking about this over the last month about in our B series, you know, be just, be kind, be humble, love your neighbor as you love yourself, to remember who you are. And hopefully, because when we are pursuing that, guess what we discover? We discover joy. And none of that has to do with consuming or spending, right? Or just simply seeking pleasure. What we find is that when we are being just and kind and humble, when we're loving our neighbor, remembering who we are, what we discover is that in doing that, we discover joy, and there is where we find our true, we find pleasure in doing that as well, right? I was reminded of a story this week told by Barbara Glantz, I think is her name. And she's a motivational speaker, corporate speaker and things. And she was, so she does workshops for our large companies. And she had been invited to speak to a large grocery store chain. They were having a convention. And so a lot of people were, you know, from the grocery store, this particular chain, wherever in there. So, and then people that where it was being held, folks from the grocery stores locally were there as well. So you had not just execs, managers, but you had, you know, you had your cashiers and you had your truck drivers and you had your stock people and stuff like that. So you had just all these folks there. So it's about 3,000 of them. And so she was speaking, you know, to motivate them, to inspire them. And she was talking about how, you know, even by working in a grocery store, you have a higher calling. You're more than just a cashier or a truck driver or a manager or whatever. You have this opportunity to be a blessing to other people, to help other people. Because and her point was, you find your greatest meaning in life when that is your ultimate goal. And that it's not just about a job, not just about a paycheck. And so she's talking about that. She's describing all of this. And there's one person in particular who heard it and heard what she had to say and really took it to heart and took it seriously. His name was Johnny. Johnny was born with Down syndrome. But he was a bagger at one of the local grocery stores there. And so he was there and heard all this. And so he went home that night and he's thinking, you know what, so how can I bless people? How can I encourage people? And so that evening he thought, you know what, maybe I could find some positive sayings, some encouraging sayings that might really be helpful to people. So he scoured the internet. And he found all of these positive, encouraging sayings, and he printed off 300 of them, and he cut them out into his little slips of paper there, and he took them with him to work the next day. And so as he bagged people's groceries, he made sure to put one of those slips of paper with one of those sayings on it in at least one of the bags for each customer there. And he told him, he said, hey, I just put a saying in your bag. I hope it helps. Have a good day. And then they go. Well, he did this every day. Several weeks later, the manager of his grocery store noticed that there was a long line of customers waiting to check out in the lane that Johnny was working in, while there were only, you know, maybe two or three or nobody in the other checkout lanes there. And so, you know, he's seeing this, and so, you know, he gets on the intercom and he says something like, shoppers, hey, there's no wait in line, you know, at register 2 and register 3, so you know, please take advantage of that. Please step over there. And when he did it, he noticed, though, that nobody moved from the checkout that Johnny was working in. Nobody moved from those to the others. Everyone that was in that Johnny's checkout line stayed there. Why? Why was that? Well, what the manager came to realize is that the people were waiting in Johnny's line because they wanted to be blessed by Johnny before they went on their way. You see, Johnny had figured it out. His joy and life was found in the blessing of other people, right? And being a blessing to them, and lifting them up, encouraging them, and not in just to consuming that his job was more than just a job, right? And other people were drawn to him. And what did he find? He experienced joy, and in him experiencing joy, in him doing that, they experienced joy, right? And for him, he found life, right? And they found life. And that's God's intention for us, right? So that, you know, the Apostle Paul says it this way. You heard it earlier, you know, that when we're generous and we're doing good for people, what happens? Paul tells us, we take hold of the life that really is life. See, I'm going to tell you, money isn't a bad thing, okay? That's not what I'm saying. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of it, the scriptures tell us, okay? So money's not a bad thing, yeah? It's just how we look at it where the problems come up, you know? Money by itself can be good, can be bad, you know? It's neutral. It's how we see it. And some of us, we see it as a tool. We see it as a means to invest, you know, in God's purpose. You know, to be a blessing unto other people. Others of it see it as a means by which we can have stuff. And pleasure. And stuff and pleasure are not bad things. But if we believe that's where we're going to find life, and we're going to find happiness, and we're going to find joy in the consumption of stuff and just the pursuit of pleasure, we're going to find that is hollow. It's a facade, because it's not true. That is, it pretends, right? It pretends. It tries to convince us that yes, and we fall into that. And what do we find? It doesn't last, right? When we're generous and doing good for other people, what happens? So we take hold of the life that really is life. And so that's why you're being invited to think about, to take a step back, to look at, okay, what am I doing with what I have? Am I a prodigal? Am I squandering maybe? You know, can there are things that maybe I could do a little bit differently that would allow me to have, you know what, more margins in my life where I'm able to respond to emergencies, or I can be able to bless more people, whatever it might be. And it's not about the amount. It's just how we approach or what we have, how we use it, how we invest it. When I worked as a youth minister in Savannah, Georgia, also helped out with along with some of my other colleagues who are youth ministers in a student ministry called Young Life. Some of you are probably familiar with it. Now, the head of our Young Life area was a gentleman who owned a local marketing and advertising firm in town. He did really well at that because he was really good. And so I was excited when our next leaders meeting was going to be at his house. I'm like, oh man, I'm looking forward to this. I mean, because I mean, he did really well. I mean, he financially was really well off. And so I was like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm sure he's probably got a house down on the water somewhere, on the river, whatever. It's going to be great. And, you know, we get there and I'm looking, I'm like, this ain't a big house. This ain't on the water. This ain't in no gated community. I mean, it's just a little modest kind of ranch style house. And just in the average part of town. And I said to one of my colleagues, one of my friends, and I said, oh, Steve's pretty well off, right? And he said, oh, yeah, I am. Yeah, sure. I was like, gosh, what's up with this? Yeah, I'm surprised. Yeah, I thought he might have this big old house, stuff like that. He said, oh, no. He said, Steve had told us, he said, you know, several years ago, Steve said, you know what, got to a point in my life where I looked at, you know, what I had and what I was spending my money on and things, and I noticed, hey, you know what, it really wasn't giving me pleasure. Yeah, I could drive a fancy car, I could have a boat, I could do whatever, and I've had all those things. He said, but you know what, at the end of the day, I was no happier. Didn't find any more joy than when I didn't have it, those things. And so he said, you know, I made a conscious decision to invest in other things. Things like my church, things like Young Life. And my friend said, yeah, I mean, he done that. He's given in so many other ways as well. And I thought, wow, you know what? That, here's a person who could live in a mansion, could have any kind of car, could have a vacation home anywhere he wanted, and yet, yeah, he gets it, right? He's discovered where you try, how you find, and where you find true joy and life. And it's not in the consumption and simply in the pursuit of pleasure, but it's when he's investing in, you know, the lives of others. I was like, you know what, that is someone, that is something to try to emulate, to try to be like. I mean, when you think about it, the people that you admire, all right? Society says we should admire those who have lots and lots of stuff, lots and lots of money. We hold them up as examples. Oh, look how successful they are. And they are in many ways, financially, yes. But you know, is that our ultimate goal? Is that our meaning? Is that what is most important to us? Is that what really matters? All right? Is that the kind of people you really admire? Or is it someone, you know what, who understands where true joy comes from investing in life? What did Paul say again? Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that truly is life. Let us pray. Lord, I'm so thankful that you are extravagant. You are extravagant in the love that you have for us. Even when we don't love you in return, even when we pursue happiness and joy and pleasure and in things that, you know what, are hollow, that don't really do that. And yet you love us still. So forgive us for all our extravagance and all the many ways in which we squander and we waste. And we don't invest maybe as much as we can into the things that really matter. So Lord, as you know, as we begin this series, I just, you know, work on me. Speak to me and speak to everyone. You know, and help us discern how we might be a better blessing unto others and invest in the things that really matter, because there is where we take hold and find life and joy. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.